This episode of the Beauté Industry Podcast was brought to you by Social Salon School, social media education that works for hair and beauty professionals. Hello and welcome to the Beauté Industry Podcast, your online support community for the professional beauty industry. I am your host, Founding Director of Beauté Industry, Tamara Reid. Here, we are closing the competitive gap and speaking your language. This is a platform created and dedicated to the professional beauty industry, valuing community over competition. We serve to help connect you with inspiration from industry experts, expand your knowledge through educational pieces, and bring you the latest in product and technology innovation. This is Beauté Industry. Today, my guest is Tegan Mack. Starting in the industry in 2016, launching her own business, TeganMack.skin, in September of 2019, just 3 years in, it's delightfully surprising to see Tegan Mack accomplish such influence and status in the professional beauty industry. With a passion for skincare and a history of skin concerns herself, Tegan has developed a down-to-earth and relatable platform for her clients to go for skin advice in its funniest, most raw form on social media. Being the first person to win the AST Skin Masters Social Media Award, Tegan is somebody I frequently get screenshots about from community members asking, "Where do I get these for my salon?" or "How can I do this for my clients?" Showing her true entrepreneurial ways of making waves and leaving impressions on the industry as she challenges the status quo and creates a landscape of her own. Dressed in her signature baby pink branded sweater today, Tegan and I talk about having a go when you're new to the industry, finding your passion and running with it, and why it's important to teach people about their skin from a secondary educational level. Here's Tegan and I for Beauté Industry. Tegan Mack, welcome to the Beauté Industry Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Woohoo! I'm so excited to have you. We have, especially actually when you were going through Corona, you launched something about a skin kit with a headband and a mask and a brush and all of this kind of stuff. And everyone was screenshotting it, putting it into our Facebook group going, "Who is this? What's she doing? How can we do the same?" And then ever since then, our Facebook group has blown up with people requesting you to come on. So I am so excited. Oh my gosh.
Wow. In demand. I love it.
There you go. Hey, Tegan, we go way back to the very beginning of everybody's career and find out, how did you make your way into the industry?
So I guess the first time I decided to do, well, let's just rewind all the way back. I was working Country Road, casual, whatever. And I was like, well, this is silly. I'm 23. I've done a few courses in the past. I had done photography, creative writing, drama, but I was like, I don't want to be that. So what am I going to do? And I've always kind of loved makeup and beauty. So I thought maybe I'll give makeup a go. And then this ad came up on Facebook for this academy that was just above, across the road from Flinders Street Station. So I thought easy to get to. And I started doing the beauty course, which covered massage, makeup, skin. And it wasn't until I started learning about the skin stuff that I was like, no, this is what I want to do 100%. Started learning about my own skin and why the things I had tried in the past hadn't worked before. And then I thought, okay, let's just try and get a job. So I had no experience. I was still studying in my course and I was emailing on, I don't even know what the job thing's called these days, whatever that website is. And I got an email back from Andrula at Bare Body, who wanted to meet up with me. So I came on an interview. It was Valentine's Day, 2016. And I told her I had no experience. I was still studying, but I'm super keen to learn. And I'm really passionate about skin and helping people. And lucky enough for me, she saw a spark in me and decided to give me a chance. And I've been here ever since. Fast forward 3 years later, and she sold the skin side of the business to me, and it's become TeganMack.skin.
How fab. I love that you're saying there, you know, the pathway was never linear. I mean, starting off, you were going to do drama, you're working at Country Road, you know, you were having to look at all of these other things. Because I think sometimes, especially at that age, we feel like we should know what to do and we don't. And that's okay. But you found your pathway along there.
Yeah. And I always felt like I could never force myself to do anything I didn't like, which is why I started a lot of bachelor degrees and never finished them, because I thought I'm gonna have to pay for this one day and I don't even love it, and I know I'm not gonna do this when I'm older. All of my friends at 23 were finishing their courses and I didn't have anything under my belt, but I thought, no, just hang in there. You want something that you're gonna love. And yeah, it all just kind of, you know, working at Country Road, I was doing all the online orders, so that has come in handy for my business. Doing drama, doing media, all of that has come in handy for my Instagram. Doing the creative writing has helped me write my captions. So everything I've done, even though it was not, you know, doing it for this end goal of working in skin, it has all come together and kind of, I've created this job which combines everything that I love. It combines, you know, the photography and the editing of videos and, yeah, it's talking on camera and all that kind of stuff, which I love. So I'm super happy where I am now.
Yeah, how cool is that? Sometimes we need to get to where we are to reflect back and to see.
Yeah.
For me, it was like being a dancer, working at Coles, working in events management, to understand that I actually needed all of those little bits.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It all kind of makes sense eventually. Everything, you pick up a skill along the way that you will use down the track.
Absolutely. And I love what you're saying there about how you didn't have any experience, gave it a red hot crack, got the job, and the business owner saw something in you that even though you didn't have 2 to 3 years of experience, like every ad on Seek reads, that she still wanted to give you a go. Because I think it's really difficult in this industry for up and coming beauty therapists without any experience. It's like, right, well, you want me to have experience.
You've got to start somewhere. Yeah. And every job had 3 years experience, and laser experience was a must. I wasn't even finished my course. But you never know. You've just got to kind of go out there, give it a shot. A lot of people didn't reply, but eventually someone will give you a crack and you just work hard and go from there.
Yes. Now tell me about the skin side of the industry. When did you realize that that was your jam?
Because I've always struggled with acne, I wanted answers for myself. First and foremost, I had a drive to fix my skin, and a lot of my friends, particularly my best friend, also struggles with her skin. So I was like, I think I can learn stuff that's going to help you, and let's try these products and let's try these treatments, what works, what doesn't. That's where it's come from. And even to this day, it's every time someone walks in, particularly if they've got acne, I still feel like I am their friend who's just trying to figure out how I can help them. And I think that's what makes it not seem like work. It more seems like I'm just trying to help my friends out so that they can understand their skin, feel confident in their skin, because I never had that growing up. No one ever gave me the information I really needed. It was all about getting on medication and, you know, long-term that doesn't really help. So I guess I just want to be the person that I didn't have when I was a teenager.
Yeah, and that's so beautiful and relatable as well. When you had your own concerns of acne and you tried everything under the sun, was there ever for you a place where you just thought, stuff this, I'm just going to give up and go on, you know, medication and things like that?
Because
it's exhausting, right?
Yeah, there were definitely times where, you know, especially it got quite bad. I mean, I still get breakouts. It's still a thing, but it got quite bad around age 20 when I had come off the pill, because, you know, they say don't be on it for too long. And the reason I was on it in the first place was for my skin. So I thought, oh, maybe it's fixed itself by now. Maybe I've grown out of it. And it just came back, and it was just so, you just feel so yuck going clubbing when your face is all bumpy. Like, you can put as much makeup as you want on, but at the end of the day, that texture is there. And I thought, you know what? I don't care if a medication screws me up long term. I don't care what it does to my health. I just want it fixed. if it means going on Roaccutane, the pill, doxycycline all at the same time, and I'm gonna have to remove my liver when I'm 60 years old, I don't care. Just fix it. Luckily, I didn't do all that. I have been on the pill. I'm off it now. I've never been on Roaccutane, but I think my mum was always hesitant about what to put me on and, you know, what kind of medication I should be putting through my body. And that's probably why I never went hardcore into all that stuff, thankfully, because obviously I don't want to have a liver transplant and I do care about my long-term health now.
That's perfect. I mean, I think even, you know, you said there going out to the club, your skin's all bumpy, but some therapists have said to me in my past educational roles, Tamara, I don't feel confident as a therapist because I've got acne and how can I talk to my client about that? I mean, how do you feel? As you mentioned, you've still, you know, still getting breakouts. It's a very real aspect of the job when you're talking about skin.
Yeah, definitely. And there was a time, maybe it was 2017, it was after I'd come back from Europe. I was still learning what products my skin liked. And, you know, coming into a clinic where all of a sudden there's this big shelf of all this stuff and you want to try everything, I think I went a bit too hard too soon and my skin didn't like it and it freaked out. I would think, you know, people are going to look at me and be like, well, if she can't fix her own skin, how the hell is she going to fix mine? And that's a very real thing for a lot of therapists. But you've got to look at the positive. It means that you can give genuine advice. You're relatable. You're going through the same thing as a lot of other people are. And you can say, you know, I've tried this. I've tried that. I'm still trying. It's an ongoing thing. It does take a lot of time. My skin's slowly getting better and better. And it might help give your client more realistic expectations. Because sometimes, you know, you're getting skin advice from someone with perfect skin and you think, they don't get it. They have probably never had a pimple. They're using products that they would never use on themselves because they don't need that kind of thing. So in a way, it can work to your advantage. It can make you more relatable and give you a deeper understanding of what works because you're trying to figure it out for yourself too.
Yeah, and it does speak volumes, I mean, of your experience as well. I think I was watching a story of yours a couple of weeks ago and you had a breakout and you were trying to conceal it and take the redness down and you were like, I tried this product and my skin is flaking and it dried it out, but I tried this product and I like this product. And I guess, you know, your followers and your audience and your clients are coming along that journey with you. So they're like, oh, she completely understands it.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's what a lot of people appreciate is they're getting skin advice from someone who is going through the same kind of stuff that they are.
Yeah, absolutely. How have your audience kind of responded to the fact that you are so real and so relatable and just put it out there on social media? I think even for me, you know, I did a live this morning and I had no makeup on and it takes some guts to do that because, you know, social media is so very curated and filtered. I mean, how do you kind of navigate your way in putting yourself out there and your stories out there?
Well, I guess the first thing to remember is when you're filming these things, you're by yourself in a room. So even though for the viewer, it's like, oh my God, all these people are seeing her face. For me, it's like, I'm just sitting here by myself. So that's the first thing. I don't really feel awkward. Second thing, if you want to go look at airbrush skin and Photoshop stuff, that's everywhere. Like there's nothing wrong with your real skin and it just doesn't bother me. I'm not the only one with pimples. I know that because I'm treating people with the same skin every single day. So you want people to open their phone and open Instagram and see someone relatable. And if I can do that for people and show my skin and when it looks crap and when it looks great, and also like when it does look great, celebrating when it looks great and saying, oh my God, I look amazing today. Look at my skin, it's come so far. I think that's also important because a lot of people can feel a bit, they just put themselves down all the time about their skin. Even when they do have wins, they're cautious about saying their skin looks good because they don't want to come off a certain way. So I don't know, after a while of talking to yourself by yourself on your phone all the time, you just say whatever you want to say, you do whatever you want to do, and no one's ever bullied me. I've never been cyberbullied about my skin. So I guess that helps when no one's saying any mean stuff. Everyone says really supportive stuff and they love it. And that drives you to keep making more videos like that.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And I guess if somebody sees that you've got the confidence to go out there and, you know, get on camera and be on social media, that person in their bedroom might be seeing that and thinking, oh my God, she's, you know, indirectly inspirational and maybe I won't wear makeup or...
Yeah. You know, and I'll come to work without makeup and do these consults with my pimples showing because we're here to talk about skin. So it's so fine for people to have a look and see that, you know, you've got some stuff going on. Some people come in and say, oh my God, your skin's always so perfect. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. So I don't want to trick people into thinking I've got this amazing skin when, you know, I've got all these products, all these treatments in front of me. I still get pimples. It's inevitable for some people that they'll still break out. So I don't want to hide the fact that I'm breaking out. So I think the more I can just show my skin for what it is, the better for everyone else.
After the break, Tegan shares with us the method behind her merch and online consultations and two, how she hopes to keep spreading skin awareness within the wider community. But first, a word from today's Beauté partner. Community, our beautiful friend of the podcast, Nicole Healy, has launched her brand new social media membership course, Social Salon School, which teaches social media education that works for hair and beauty professionals. The membership contains simple yet effective marketing tools in drip-fed style lessons once a week by the educator and founder of Melbourne hair blogger, Nicole Healy herself. With her wildly successful following of over 60,000 over on social media and the current finalist as hair educator for 2020, Social Salon School is proof that with a little learning, you too can boost your social media strategy. For more information, head to the website www.melbournehairblogger.com.au. Thank you so much to Nicole and the team at Social Salon School for making this episode possible. And now back to Tegan. Can we talk about, you mentioned just earlier that you bought the skin side of the business from your boss. I mean, How do you just do that? How does that transaction happen?
I think I just got really lucky from the start. My whole skin journey has been very unique. So when I was employed, I was, for the most part, working by myself. So I didn't have any other skin therapists working here to train me, to ask questions, all that kind of stuff. I was totally by myself. And it being by myself meant that Andrula gave me the opportunity to kind of shape how I wanted the skin side to be, if I wanted to introduce a new treatment, if I wanted to change the descriptions on the treatment menus, she let me write all that stuff. So I was given a lot of freedom straight off the bat from Andrula because she could see that I was really passionate about what I was doing. She took care of laser, I took care of skin, and she trusted me with the calls I was making on how we should run the skin side of the business. So when it got to a point that, you know, 90% of people that were coming in were from Instagram, I was like, okay, well, this is a business. I've created a business for myself and from this Instagram. It would be crazy not to start my own business. And Andrula just said, well, I would love you to stay because I probably wouldn't replace you at the clinic. So why don't you just buy all the stuff, rent the room and start doing your own thing? So she fully supported me in every way to start my own business. So I'm just really lucky that I got her as a boss because I don't know how things would have panned out if I started working in a clinic in a shopping center with 10 other girls. And I don't know, that might not have been my thing. I think it's a blessing in disguise that I was by myself my whole skin journey in the industry because it meant that I had to call the shots and I got to kind of shape things the way I wanted to. I didn't have to follow the rules of anyone else. I was just like, oh, well, if I feel like doing this, I'll just do this. And yeah, it's been fun having that much flexibility.
Yeah, well, it teaches you to level up both personally and professionally, because you're like, okay, well, I can sit here and I can be lazy and I can scroll on my phone all day and not have anyone in the space, or I can get out there, I can go on Instagram, I can talk about the treatments and educate my audience.
Yeah.
And that's where the conversion happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Yeah.
Talk to me about then, you say that you answer lots and lots of questions, and I see you answering lots and lots of questions yes. on Instagram. And this is probably one of the biggest questions I get asked in mentoring sessions by business owners. It's like, but how much time do I really have to spend on these platforms? And am I wasting my time? I mean, do you ever feel like you are wasting your time on socials because it's not specifically paid time to give your advice?
I think there's definitely been stages, like maybe early last year, where I was answering a lot of questions and I didn't have my own business, and I was kind of like, oh, like this would be so much better if the benefit of these conversations would then directly benefit me. But in the long run, it did, because it meant that, you know, I was building up enough clientele that I could start my own business. When it is your own business and you're sitting there answering questions all day, which is obviously unpaid when you work for yourself, I don't know, it doesn't really bother me. I feel like the benefit of my Instagram is people can write to me and they will get a response every time. I'm not untouchable. I'm not, you know, this phantom Instagram person that you'll never meet in real life. Like, you can come into the clinic, you can have an online consult, you can chat to me online. I'm always around. One of the reasons I started doing online consults was for that reason, though. So I could say to people who weren't just saying, hey, picking between these two cleansers, what do you think? It was more like, here's photos of my skin. You know, this is the products I've been using. Can you help? And I was like, this is a big conversation. And if I'm going to give you the best advice, it's better if we do this properly. So I introduced online consultations for that reason, so that people who were asking questions that were better suited to a consult, I could just refer them to the website. Hey, let's do this properly. Let's have a proper chat, book in for an online consultation. And that kind of stopped that feeling of being on Instagram answering questions that were just too full on for free. Yes. So for all the business owners out there, that's why I did online consultations.
Yeah, amazing. And my kind of theory is that it's give, give, get, right? So you can't always be asking people to spend with you and asking people to come in the space. Like, if you're giving that advice and you're engaging, you will get, you know, regardless. But I wanted to ask you about the consults, because in, you know, the pandemic and the world turned upside down and all that stuff, everyone was like, oh my God, I've got to pivot. I've got to do online consultations.
Yeah.
You were already doing that beforehand. I mean, you said there that the driver was to help answer those questions and to give people more of you and time. How have you found that transition for your business?
It's been, the funny thing is like when the pandemic happened, nothing changed. I just had to shut the door. I had an online store set up. I had online consults set up. And I think going back to me working solely by myself and doing whatever I wanted, that was kind of why I did online consults in the first place. I wasn't looking at what anyone else was doing and being like, oh, well, they're not doing it, so I won't do it. I was kind of like, well, I've got people in Perth wanting to chat, let's set up online consults. Or I've got people asking questions in New South Wales, they want to buy products, why wouldn't I have a store? It just seemed obvious. Why only treat your postcode when you can treat the whole country? Or outside, you know, I've got consults in New Zealand and the UK. Like, once you're online, the opportunities are limitless. So when we did go from in clinic to being locked down and just being online, it was really insightful for me to see how much business I can actually drive from just online. And now that we're reopening next week, I'm actually going to change even more my hours and do less in clinic and more online, because, you know, in a 1 hour session in clinic, you treat one person, you see one person. If you're making a video that, you know, 1 hour, half an hour of filming, half an hour of editing, that reaches 8,000 people and then 10 people buy products from the video, all of a sudden your reach is so much bigger. So I'm really trying to find a good balance between social media and in clinic, because the opportunities with the business you can get from online is definitely not something you should ignore. It's very important to have online presence.
Yes, I love that so much. And, you know, it's really interesting for me actually to step back. I am a therapist. I've been a business owner, you know, I've been a manager and all of that encompasses, but I'm not on the floor anymore. But it's so interesting that we've had all of this downtime, like literally 8 to 10 weeks of not doing treatments. I can imagine there's going to be a lot of therapists, a lot of business owners who go back into what they were doing beforehand, the 12-hour days, the 9 p.m. finishes, the Saturday, the Sunday, everyone's exhausted, right? And it's going to be really funny to see the shift of people who go, do you know what? I want to work smarter, not harder, and I don't want to do these many hours, and I'm going to put some time online.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, at the start of this year, I decided to cut my Fridays to do online consults, because otherwise I was doing them on my weekends, which meant I never had a weekend. And I was like, that's stupid, not doing that. So I created Fridays as my work from home day. But now that we've gone through the pandemic, what I did to compensate for that day off on a Friday is I did Tuesday 10 hours, Wednesday 10 hours, Thursday 10 hours, and then a Saturday for 7. Whereas now I'm thinking Tuesdays and Thursdays stay the same, but make Wednesday a half day. So I've got even more time to do videos, and because that's what people want. They want videos. And I'd be crazy not to make the time for that. And if that means less hours in clinic, then that's just something you've got to do. And it's also going to be great work-life balance for me. So I've got the energy to make videos, and I've got inspiration, because if you're working massive days, the last thing you're going to do is come home and film an energetic video about skin and trying to, you know, encourage people to whatever. You just don't have the energy for that. So if it gets to a stage where I can't take on new clients, then that's just something I'll have to do so that I can give my current clients the best chances of getting appointments, but also keep my online presence alive and thriving.
Yeah, beautiful. At the beginning of this episode, I was talking about those DIY facial packs that everyone in our group was going mental for. It was almost like you had pre-planned, like before the pandemic hit, that you're going to need something like this, and you had the branded headbands and you've got all of this cool
stuff. I didn't actually have branded headbands. I had the hair wraps. I had the little pillow packs from old, like leftover packaging from old Christmas packs that I had done. So it just seemed like a no-brainer. It would have been a 3-second thought at midnight, and then I just did it. It just was obvious to make an at-home kit. You know, you've got the sample pots around, you chuck in a few masks, you just label everything, make it fun. If they want to add on the hair wrap, they can. Yeah, they were hard to put together because it takes a long time dispensing everything. So the only thing I regret is not spending more time making more packs, because I ran out of packs really early, and the time in between me restocking them because I ran out of the cardboard pillow packs was too long. So now, you know, we're reopening. People don't need that stuff anymore. But I think I still might keep the packs, because someone might miss their appointment, or they can't afford to come in, or whatever, they're moving interstate, whatever. It's a good idea to have the packs anyway. So it is something that I'm just going to keep doing. Maybe every few months I'll change what's in the packs. It gives everyone a chance to try out new product and then hopefully buy the full price. So, the full size product. So yeah, the DIY facial kits were obvious. I think even before the lockdown started, I was like, yeah, I'll make some kits for sure.
Yeah, I love that. Talk to me about how the merch has changed your business. I mean, you've got your signature Tegan Mack sweater and yes, representing. I mean, why was that even a thought that you had in your mind? And then has it influenced your business?
Well, I wanted my own kind of uniform, and I just, salon spa uniforms, they're stiff, they're boring, not into it. On the weekend, I'm wearing leggings, my white sneakers and a jumper. And I was like, why didn't I just make that my work uniform? Again, I was working by myself. I don't have to consult anyone. I do whatever I want. So I made the jumpers for myself, but then all my friends wanted one. My family wanted one. My boyfriend wanted one. My friend's boyfriends wanted one. So all of a sudden everyone's got some. So I thought I'll just make some extra, put them online. And then if people want that, they can. And it's so exciting when people actually want to buy it and wear it and represent. Because I feel like it is a bit of a community thing, like the TeaGandMac.skin community. Everyone is so excited about skin and into skin. It's a very positive place. I very rarely get trolls. And then, yeah, hair wraps. I thought that could be a bit of fun because I was using a hair wrap at home instead of a shower cap. And I thought, well, I like it, so maybe other people will like it. I think that's where every merch idea has come from. It's like, if I like it, I assume that other people will like it. Maybe they don't. It doesn't matter. You just chuck it out there. It's something that I use. And I think people have picked up on the fact that I only promote things that I genuinely like and love. And all of the merch ideas has come from things that I like and use and believe in. So you might as well offer it to the wider public.
Yeah, incredible. It sounds like you're a pretty dynamic person who, you know, like me, is just going to flick on light bulb and all of a sudden create a company.
Yeah.
A little bit crazy in that respect too.
Got to be.
What does the future look like for you? I mean, are you wanting to go into education? Are you looking at expanding? And yeah, what are we going to expect?
I mean, it's crazy because I haven't even been a business owner for 12 months yet. So things go so fast, but definitely would love to have my own place. Right now I'm kind of at the back, down the stairs. I would love to have my own shop front kind of clinic with my signage on it and my kind of styling of the place. I would love that. I'd love to have multiple rooms and hire people so that more people can book in and they don't have to wait so long to have appointments. And another thing I've always wanted to do is go to schools and talk to, you know, year 10, 11, 12 about skin, not only so they can start good habits early and they're getting the right information early, but also just so, I don't know, they might get some confidence seeing someone older talk about their skin problems and maybe they won't feel so embarrassed about their skin. So that's something I've always wanted to do. I'd love to go and do talks at schools. I think that would be so much fun.
Ah, and so rewarding as well. I mean, yeah. Obviously for that age, I mean, we know hormones are going mental. It's really, yeah. Really important what we look like because we're just going out and we're just going to parties and debs and things
especially
like that.
Especially with the standards these days, like what girls look like at age 18 is insane. Everyone knows how to edit their photos. And there's like filters that you can put on videos now. So even when you're talking and moving around, your face is still edited and airbrushed. And I just think the amount of people who had acne in my day, there's still the same amount of people who have acne today, yet you don't see any of that online. So I think, yeah, giving kids, teens, a more realistic expectation of what skin looks like at that age and into their 20s will maybe help them see past all the kind of fake stuff they see online.
Yeah, and two, you're going to get in there earlier. I mean, even if you start at like year 7, you get away from like your traditional kind of department stores and the high alcohol and fragrance-based stuff and the medication and you can really help guide them.
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, that's something I have to do. I feel like that's what I needed when I was that age. And again, everything that I do in my business and in my life in general comes from like, well, what would I want? What do I need? And then the ideas just kind of go from there. So I feel like that's something people will definitely benefit from and appreciate. Even now I have mums bringing in their daughters age 12 just to start them off on the right foot with skincare. So if I can reach, 150 teens at one time, then that would be awesome. Brilliant. And then they'll follow my Instagram.
And the cycle continues.
Yes. And then they'll grow up being TeaGandMac.skin girls and boys. that'll be good.
I love it. Tegan, thanks so much for jumping online this morning and having a chat with me. It's been divine.
No worries. Loved it. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Tegan Mack, and thank you again for requesting this conversation. I hope you all enjoyed it just as much as I did. I loved what Tegan was saying about listening to clients and being flexible as a business owner in order to really hear what they're saying. Asking questions like, what does our client want? What problems do they have? And how can I help resolve these problems? Is a simple little strategy that you can do on your own or with your team when you're next working on your business. Tegan's can-do attitude is something I absolutely adore and admire so much, and I hope you found some inspiration from Tegan in our conversation today. If this is the case, well, I would love for you to give us a little rating, write us a review, or even show us how and where you're listening to this episode by sharing a little picture or video across your socials by tagging @teganmack.skin, myself @TamaraShawReed, and of course us @Butte Industry. Until next time, stay connected.